Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast, the only podcast that grows with you through all seven stages of your journey as a founder. And I know we've all heard the crazy statistics around how many businesses fail. Yet as founders, I also know that we all ignore that and go for it anyway. We fight, we scratch, we claw, we try and get through those early days thinking, hey, if I can get my business to 1 year, we'll be okay. But the reality of it is that year isn't enough. And according to our guest today, over 90% or actually 90% of businesses fail in years 2 through 5, which is stunning. We're going to figure out why, and we're going to show you how to solve it here in just a moment, because that is all due to our wonderful guest, who is Corinne Czar Walsh. She's here to help us beat the odds, and she's a visionary business and people strategist. She's an author, podcaster, an investor, and a seven-figure business-building entrepreneur, making her the ultimate business healer. With nearly 2 decades of experience optimizing performance in the health and wellness, e-commerce, technology, and finance industries, and running top-performing teams in complex environments, Corinne has a proven track record of helping C-suite executives to turn their vision and of impact into action. She's worked with trillion-dollar businesses, including BlackRock and Broadridge, to execute their strategic initiatives, as well as helping startups like Pure Vitality and Drip Hydration build growth strategies to scale. She's here with us today. Corinne, very excited to have you on the show. Every entrepreneur out there knows that year one is hard, right? We walk into it, hopefully knowing what we've signed up for to some extent. But you cite the statistic that 90% fail not in year one, but in years 2 through 5. So why is making it through that first year not enough? What's going on that causes so many of us to fail?
It's great to be here, Scott. Thanks for having me. I find that year one, it kind of is a adrenaline push that gets you through it, right? Like if you can imagine getting into all the doing of it all to establish your business, it's very easy to be almost distracted if you don't have a clear strategy of what it would look like by year 2 through 5. And I think in my methods, especially when I created my Evolve method, like I love to work with my founders thinking about, all right, you have this amazing idea, but how do you actually want to exit this business when it actually reaches what your ultimate vision is? Yeah. And that I think is the differentiator to hit that 2 through 5 year and plus, right? Like if you really want a sustainable business, a legacy-based business, if that's your goal, you have to start thinking of what does that future state look like? And then year one needs to be that foundational year to build upon after that. And I think that's tends to be the missing mark, because most people have great ideas and they think it might be a business, but they're not necessarily sure what sustainability of that business would look like.
Right, right. I don't know this for sure because I wasn't here 100 years ago, but it seems like starting a business today is more complex than ever. It's just so many things happening so many different ways. Does it have to be that complicated, or is there a way to simplify the route to success, especially in these early days?
Yeah, I mean, I think the foundation of all business is supply and demand. And if you don't understand what you're supplying and clear on where the demand is, then you don't have a business. Like that's the root of all business that was ever created from the beginning of time. I think what's created complexity is the comparison model that people get caught up in, that their business has to reflect how other people are doing it. And that's where they create more disconnect from what they're truly trying to do and probably create more problems within their business because they're bringing in other people's influence versus what's best for them as the leader of the business. And what does it mean for them to actually supply the right services against that ideal demand? Who are their ideal clients? What do they want? And why would they keep coming back to us? I think is what has made it more complex.
Yeah. It's interesting because there is something to be learned from others, right? But in the same token, if you're running someone else's race, you're all but set up to fail from the get-go. So how do you help founders to really identify if they're copycatting to their detriment or if they're copying best practices to further their success?
Yeah, it all comes down to being really clear on the business they're in and how they craft their offers to align with what service they actually provide or product suite they actually want to put out there, knowing that it is meeting the need. So copycatting is a stress-inducing scenario if you don't have the same acumen as who you're copying, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's where the gap becomes. So if you don't know your innate qualities and the gaps of who else you would need in your business to do it, and you're trying to copy someone with a totally different business acumen than you have, that's when you're setting yourself up to fail. It's one of the biggest things when I'm asked to come into companies and evaluate and strategically think with them on how do they scale? Because year 2 through 5 is generally a scaling proof of concept is 1 to 2. And then 2 to 5 is a scaling and trying to target new sustainability within the business. And in order to do that, you have to kind of look at yourself and be like, am I actually the right leader to help get us there? And a lot of the times, if you're sitting in the creator role of your business, the one that's coming up with the solutions, the one that's more on the innovative side, I guarantee you're struggling in operations and what I call entrepreneurship, which is really the sales of the business. It's the CEO model that I talk about all the time, where each of us have to play one role, but we're trying to do all three. And right. I think that is where the complexity comes when you're trying to be a copycat, because you can't copy someone else's acumen.
Yeah. I think that's so important. And I want to unpack that a little bit. What are those three roles and how do you figure out which one is right for you?
Yeah. This was something that over, I don't know how many years in my advisory and coaching practice, I think it's the last 8 years, I came up with this model, and it's the CEO conundrum, basically, because we're all sitting in it. It's because I felt it myself when I was looking to scale my business and I had to get out of my own way. The creator is the C, the entrepreneur is the E, and the operator is the O. And every single company needs all three roles fulfilled, but most of us fall between, and if you can visualize it like a triangle, between two of the three. But really, most of us really love playing just one. There are people that love process, love to be focused on the how to get things done. That's the operator role. There are people who love the new innovation, the creative side, the one that, if you have anyone on your team, or if you're this person that's like the what if person, and what if we did this and what if we did that, and you're constantly doing scope creep or adding on more things to actually deliver and then causing stress on everybody else because you didn't even master the first thing, you're the creator of the team. And then you have the entrepreneur, the one that's masterful in sales, masterful in relationships, masterful in making it an actual business, right? Yeah. Because there has to be that outbound aspect of it that so many entrepreneurs are afraid of, because there's the taboo around sales and, you know, putting themselves out there. So in order to identify which one you are, I actually did create a quiz, which anyone can go and take. It's heykareen.com/CEO if you really want to know which one you land in, because that identity alone shifts how you lead your business 100%. When I did it for myself, I realized I was a trained operator. That's what I did in corporations. That when I had a job and I grew up as an executive, I was well known for how to get things done. And so I was trained that way. But my innate side, like what I actually enjoy doing, what the things that light me up that want to show up every day, I'm between that creator and entrepreneur on that side of the triangle. So truly, I'm an entrepreneur in the, I love the business modeling. I love the numbers. I love to get the money, you know, and then the creation comes in the solution mindset that I just can't turn off. Yeah. So I made that a business. But when I did that, I literally scaled my business to 7 figures in less than 6 months because I got out of my own way. And that is something that I feel every entrepreneur needs to understand their role in their business in order to own it in a way that aligns with who they actually are, as opposed to posturing into roles that actually bring them a lot of pain. And that's why they're not seeing it in the numbers.
Yeah. Can a founder choose any of the three, or do they really have to carry one or two of them specifically?
You can choose any of them. I know a lot of founders that try to do all of them and that's why their business growth is stunted, because you really aren't staying along. But what I would say is, when you answer the quiz questions, do it from a place of what lights you up, and you'll find that you really don't want to do the other two. Whichever one you identify with is the thing that actually makes you feel excited to show up for. Mm. And I think if you can build business based on that, then you really are growing in a way that is sustainable, because you'll love showing up in it every day.
Yeah. Hi there, this is Scott. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to get back to the show in just a few seconds, but first, I wanted to let you know about my brand new Founders Evolution Quiz. If you're a founder, business owner, or CEO who feels overworked by the business you lead and underwhelmed by the results you're getting, you're doing it wrong. Succeeding as a founder all comes down to doing the right one or two things for right now. So take the quiz today at foundersquiz.com. Again, that's foundersquiz.com. And in just 10 questions, you can figure out what stage you're in so you can focus on what's going to work and say goodbye to everything else. Now, back to the show. When it comes to setting vision early on, it's easy to kind of discount that. I mean, like, if we had a whole team and all of us could spend 3 days at a vision offsite, you know, sure, that'd be easy, but we don't have time for any of that. How do you set vision in those early days?
So, I mean, the sessions I find is you can have short-term visions, but you have to be able to pause and assess how it's going against that vision and then pivot if you need to. I think that is the winning formula for sustainability as well, is that it's not just about a pie in the sky, oh, I want to see this happen, and then you're chartering towards it and you're realizing that you're really trying to climb a big mountain that you no longer really want to climb, but that's what you said you wanted to do. So I think it's a combination, which is why my Evolve method is a cycle, because you literally want to evaluate where you are today, recast your vision, right? So that's the V, and so it's Evolve is evaluate and then visualize. And then you go into leveraging what you have to do and making sure you're in the right ownership role to do it. But you're doing it in a cyclical way so that you're consistently growing based on your learnings. I don't think we pause enough to really assess, especially early on. When I grew my business to 7 figures, I was doing an evaluation every week. Am I on target towards what I'm planning? Is this target still what I want? Is the method at which I'm doing it the right method? And I would just keep tweaking it week over week. Yeah. I would suggest you do it at least every 30 days if you're in a really good growth spurt, because then that will help you truly get traction in an aligned way. Right. It also will let you let things go that aren't working. And I think, you know, we fear that as well. A lot of the failure in business too is because there's a lot of carrying of, let's call it dead weight, things that you tried, but you're still sustaining it, but there's not really people buying it, or, you know, and then as opposed to just making the decision that didn't work, let's move on to what does.
Right. There's kind of two equal but opposite problems when it comes to vision and putting that vision into action. And I really like this cyclical model because I think it helps us to stay in between these two. But one is to say, hey, here's where we're growing. This is the big pie in the sky thing. And then be so committed to it that when it proves to be wrong, you can't pivot, right? And you're just trapped there. The other one is to just take the wheel and just crank it every single week, right? And what I really like about this idea of repeating it cyclically, as long as you have some degree of you know, willingness to either be wrong or willingness to turn the wheel, is you don't have to get it 100% right the first time, right? And instead of having to yank the wheel, if you do it frequently enough, it's just adjustments each step of the way. I really, really like that.
Tweaks that you can manage and keep assessing. Right. Because then if you have that muscle of pause, assess, and then revisualize and then reset, right? Like if you stay in that cycle, it also makes you feel like you're more in control of actually what's happening in your business. Right. And it shows you how to use discernment as to like what's a fit and what's not. It also helps you lead better as you build up your team, because part of, I'm sure some of your listeners who have small teams, or they maybe are just at that point where they're bringing on some operational help, or they're thinking, you know, I just want to get this off my plate, which is a great way to start your hiring process, to clear your plate, to then be more strategic and forward thinking on where you want to take it. I think there's sometimes the challenge of also up-leveling your team or re-establishing your team when you hit also certain parts. So when you do these type of evaluations, and I would say quarterly is a really good cycle, every 90 days to do a strategic check-in on where are you on your vision, what actions have been taken, what's going really well, you know, what we need to stop doing, what's the next best thing for the business, are we still aligned, you know, and then who do I need? Right. Who do I need is a really critical question, because some people sit in strategy and they don't think about the people side.
Yep.
And if you can hire experts in who you need versus trying to figure it out all on your own all the time, that trajectory is huge to accelerate.
That's so true. And it changes over time, right? 100%. It's not a fixed thing. I love that. That again, cyclical, taking that time. And the other word that I love that you use is pause. It's not stop, right? Yeah. It's not like abandon everything, but it's just pause. Yeah. Reflect and then move. That's very, very cool. Very cool. All right. So there's this question that I have. I ask all my guests. I'm very interested to see what you have to say.
Yeah.
And the question is this: What is the biggest secret you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing you wish everybody watching or listening today knew?
What's the biggest secret? I think the biggest secret is that, you know, the pain I see, right, in a lot of people is mistrust. Like they feel like they can't trust anybody else to handle what is on their plate or see their business the way they need to in order to get it off their plate, right? Like entrepreneurs get stuck in this control a lot of times. And the biggest secret is that trust is within yourself and how you actually lead it. And you are still in control even as you bring in people. It's up to you to master the way to lead them and make sure they understand the boundaries, the quality, the method at which you want them to perform in order to get that job done so that you can scale your business. I think that's the biggest secret in what it actually takes to scale anything, is really trusting in yourself to lead better versus sitting in this story of, I can't trust anyone and no one can do this like I can.
Yeah.
I think that if we could squash that secret, we'd have a lot more success out there.
It's so true. It's a lot less comfortable in some respects too, because it points the arrow back to you, right? Because folks are sitting at this stage. We actually call the stage the reluctant manager, and they're sitting there thinking, what's wrong with these people? You know, and the reality of it is no. You have to change the way that you lead. I could not have said it better. It was just fantastic. So, Corinne, there's some folks listening to this. They'd love to hear more about the work that you do and connect with you. How can they find out more?
Yeah, so I appreciate that, Scott. It's been fun. I actually just launched my Hey Corinne app. So you can go to heycorinne.com and find out all the things about me, but also get access to my entrepreneurial guide, an AI coach that I created. I cloned myself. And so you can have access to it. And I just actually made the whole platform free. So anybody who wants to dialogue with all the years of acumen that I've had and really get the entrepreneurial support they need as they're growing and scaling their business, like that is the place to go. It's heycorinne.com. Connecting with me on LinkedIn, which is Corinne Walsh. And then also I am on Instagram if you want to see behind the scenes and be a little bit more personal on the journey I take in life and business. I do share it there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, Corinne, thanks for being on the show. It's just a privilege and honor having you here today. Love this conversation. And for those of you watching and listening, you know that your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did. And I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. I hope this episode gave you exactly what you need for your stage right now. If you want to discover what stage you're in, take our 10-question Founders Evolution quiz for free at founderskiz.com. That's founderskiz.com. It'll pinpoint exactly where you are and give you tailored tips to move forward and reach that next level in your journey as a founder. If you got something out of today's episode, would you do us a favor and share it on social media? Just grab a quick screenshot on your phone, text it to a friend, or post it on your favorite platform. Tag us and use hashtag StartScaleSucceed. I'd love to see your posts. You can also head over to scalearchitects.com/podcast to check out more episodes tagged by your stage so you can focus on what matters most right now. Don't forget, subscribe, rate, review. It helps us to reach more founders like you, and it means a ton to me and my team. So let's keep starting, scaling, and succeeding together. I'll see you in the next episode.